Welcome to the Strength in Business podcast, which is all about maximizing your impact by implementing a powerful marketing system that will help you perform at your highest level. And now, here is your host, Chris Rock.
Welcome to a new interview session at Strength in Business. My name is Chris Rock, and I'm here to share with you powerful marketing strategies that truly work in the entrepreneurial and small business world. Today's topic is authentic marketing based on your human design. We're going to see what it means to lead a business focusing on your true self versus on your ego, and how to use your uniqueness, that is who you are, to build a profitable business you love. But before we get into the subject, I'd like to briefly introduce my amazing guest today. Molly Ryder is a human design coach who specializes in helping female entrepreneurs to stop feeling guilty and start asking for what they really want. It's time to thrive, ladies. Molly has been featured on Kim Gar's Boom Social, Bella Life by Nitika Chopra, and shows like The Block Talk Radio, Elite Daily, The Voice of Generation Y, and The Coach Approach Show. Straight from New Hampshire, I'd like to welcome Molly Ryder. Hey, Molly, how are you?
Hi, Chris. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It's so cool to have you. Molly, just let's get into it. Human design coach, what exactly is that?
That is a great question. So, first, just in terms of what exactly human design is, it's at its most basic level, the human design system is really this really powerful personality assessment tool. When you get what's called your human design chart, it can look kind of foreign. It looks like all sorts of triangles and squares and diamonds and lines, and there's all sorts of colors on it. But what it's really meant to be is a tool to bring you home to yourself, to your true essence, to reunite yourself truly with your soul and to feel loved and to be the person you're meant to be. And I find that this is so important with business, because when you have, when you're focused in on your clients and your customers, it's really important that they sense who you are and that they understand and can sense your bravery and your confidence and your self-assurance. And a lot of those things are not always easy for us to tap into when we don't feel like head over heels in love with ourselves. So when you have this really powerful sense of self, you can really tap into the confidence and assurance that you need to be successful in business. The other thing that I really love about human design is that, unlike other personality assessment tools, this one, first of all, it doesn't try to fit you into a box. So, of course, there are some like general classifications in human design, but there are a ton of deeper elements to it. It even sort of has its own language, because the mission behind human design is to help you really explore and emphasize your own uniqueness. And so there's so many layers that you can kind of peel back to your own identity and emphasize the wisdom of all of your attributes, the challenging ones as well as your strengths and such, you know? And it's really when you can love and accept yourself for both the similarities and, more importantly, the differences that you see in yourself from others, that's really when we can love and accept and share authentically and even recognize that there's a piece of others in ourselves. And so it's easy to share from this place where you don't fear. There's less fear there because you recognize that you're not alone in this, which is often where fear likes to, its trump card is to tell us that, you know, we're the only one who's feeling this way. So I really firmly believe that the key to running a successful business and enjoying your life is being so fully in love with yourself. And that's really why I chose the niche. And that's, you know, what it means to me to be a human design coach, is to help other people tap into that so that they can bring it out in their marketing and in their business.
Now, you talked about two things mainly. First of all, confidence, and second, personal assessment tool. And I want to go back to the first one.
Yeah.
Because we often say, well, why do you start a business? First of all, because you have that problem and you want to solve it.
Right.
If you don't have that problem, like brackets, you kind of get that problem so that you know what to solve. Now, you picked confidence, and as you said, that is so crucial in business, in sales, in relationship, in everything you do in your life. Why did you pick it? Was it because of confidence, or what was it that made you pick this niche?
Yeah, you know, for me, it was really because it transformed a lot of elements for me. So I was in a place in my life where I didn't have a lot of confidence. I had a lot of questions running in my head of what I should be focusing on and, you know, having a lot of different interests and not knowing which direction to really go and feeling torn and pulled. And then, of course, I was in a place in my life where I had a friend who does these really interesting readings using like a deck of cards, not tarot readings, but a deck of cards. And he let me know that I was actually the five of clubs in this deck of cards, which means that my energy, according to the cards, were that I have like this really restless energy and that I'll constantly be shifting directions and change is going to be this huge part of my life. And it just felt so dooming, you know, and I'm like, no. And, you know, myself personally, I'm what I would call a why person. Before I do anything, I really like to know why. And so this, you know, card was sort of running in my head and I wanted to figure out what to do with this information. And a really good friend of mine at the time, you know, I was asking the universe for guidance and support. And she just happens to mention, you know, human design. And she's like, hey, this is what my experience has been with it. I think you'd really probably enjoy it. And I just dove into it. And as I started to explore, I felt such a sense of relief and like this feeling of coming home and just feeling grounded and powerful in myself because human design answered my why question for me. Mm-hmm. It really told me, you know, why I felt the way I did, why I had all these different ideas. I'm what in human design is called a manifesting generator. And we manifesting generators are designed to go from like 0 to 60 in a matter of seconds, especially with ideas that feel really right to us.
That's but, like Duracell, the speed.
Yes, exactly. but also like if a project we're working on suddenly no longer feels aligned, we can just as quickly kind of pull out of a project. And that's also why loyalty and respect are really important for us manifesting generators, because if that's lost, then our attachment to the project or the person or the company is gone as well. So it just helped me further understand why I was feeling the way I was feeling, which then allowed me the opportunity to do something about it and to take the action that I needed to be more sustainably successful. Mm-hmm. And when I could understand the why, I just dropped into myself in such a more loving and relaxed way. And it was in that moment that I really knew I wanted to bring this into my coaching and allow others to feel the same way.
You mentioned the term I don't know, I'm not familiar with, manifesting generator. What exactly is that? And are we all classified? Let's say if you pick this tool, maybe you can explain a bit about this personal assessment tool. Yeah. Just tell me more about it.
Absolutely. So we in human design, it starts very broad. And at the broadest aspect, we are each put into one of five categories. And manifesting generator is one of the five categories. And then from there, human design really taps into the idea of energy. And so like the seven chakras, which many of us have heard and mm-hmm. utilize the chakra energy, human design considers our bodies to have 9 different energy centers. And these energy centers all control and suggest and bring about different feelings and energies and ideas within us. And based on your birth information, you can find out which of these energy centers is like automatically and usually turned on for you in the sense that it's like activated and you can tap into that energy at any time. And it's really there for you to utilize in empowering ways. And also, it shows you which energy centers are not on for you. And what that means usually is that there's a lot of environmental conditioning around those centers. So people imposing their ideas on you as to how to be, and that's sort of when the ego comes in with all the shoulds and the coulds. And so how best to recognize when that's happening and what actions you can take to relieve yourself of feeling the societal pressure of those centers that you don't always have activated. And if you need the energy of that center, how to connect with others so that you can get that energy and utilize it for your business. So that's sort of the deeper idea behind it is looking at your energy centers and how best to utilize them so that you can be the success that you want to be.
Now, this is a business show and we're going very spiritual already,
yes, we are.
which is fine. But the question is, how on earth, yes, can I use this in business? And more importantly, in marketing, and we picked a topic called authentic marketing. And yeah, let's go back to that. Let's go back to the bacon. How can you use all this stuff in business and in marketing?
Yeah, that is a great question. So when I work with clients, because I especially work with female entrepreneurs, the big thing is being able to tap into your human design chart, your human design, to set up your business and your marketing so that it works for you and it's sustainable. So an example I like to use is, you know, I mentioned I'm a manifesting generator. One of the other five categories is a peer generator. And peer generators are very similar to manifesting generators. We both have this real deep connection to life force energy. It's in what we call the sacral center. And it's what turns us into these kind of energizer bunnies or Duracell batteries. We can keep going and going and going, you know?
Yep.
However,
sounds familiar.
Yes. However, it only really works when you really enjoy what you're doing, when you really have felt this sacral yes inside of you, like this is what I want to put my energy towards. And so then you have access to it. But the problem or the challenge for a lot of peer generators is that they get the sense of ideas that they want to focus on, but they don't always have the initiation. They can't go from 0 to 60 like manifesting generators can. It takes them a little while to really generate that energy within themselves and get started. They're better at finishing. They're better closers. They're better, you know, at the long-term aspect of something than being the initiators, the creators, the starters of projects, those pioneers. And that can be really frustrating in our world of like, go get it, do it now, be fast, you know? It's a mixed message. And so, you know, if you get your human design chart and you are a pure generator, one of the things that you can experiment with is how you bring other people or activities into your life to help you with that initiation phase, because that's the place where you can see that there can be perhaps the struggle is just getting started. And so, you know, that's when you can, you know, hire a coach, or you can get a project manager, or you can ask a friend to be your accountability partner. You know, there's a lot of different things that you can do to tap into what you need in terms of being a starter. But oftentimes we don't know to ask for that because we didn't realize that that was truly a challenge or something that we just don't inherently have. You know what I mean? And that's another piece of this whole thing in terms of self-love and acceptance. When you can just truly accept, okay, I'm a peer generator and I don't have this initiation starter power. Fine. I'm going to tap into it from someone else, or this person's going to help me with it, or I'm going to make sure I've got an accountability partner so that I can get into this project and be successful with it. A lot of times we get stuck in just feeling guilty that we're not able to do it, or we, you know, self-sabotage, or we think, you know, okay, this time my willpower will kick in and I'll be able to do it. And then 5 days later, we're not doing it. And we feel bad about ourselves. And, you know, so it helps to break up that cycle, because you can truly look at who you are and put the measures in place to help you achieve what you want to achieve.
Now, you mentioned five categories. Maybe you can speak a lot about those five categories. And also, I don't know if that's the case, but is it something like, okay, category number one, the people who are in that category are very good in sales. The people who are in the second category are very good followers, nurturers, because we can't all be leaders because nobody's right. going to follow us. Yes, mm-hmm. We also need followers. And tell us a bit more about these five categories and the businesses.
Absolutely. So the first category that I like to mention is the manifestors. And manifestors make up only about 8 to 10% of the population. And the challenging thing for the rest of us who are not pure manifestors is that society is really geared towards manifestors, because manifestors are the ones who can be more assertive and more sort of overtly aggressive. They're the salesmen of the world, the salesmen and women of the world. You know, they can make tough decisions. They're okay with it. They tend to generally have just more confidence in, you know, in general. But the rest of us do not usually have such forward energy. And it's okay if you're not a manifester. So I just want to put it out there. If you get your human design chart back and you're not a part of that 8 to 10% of the population, it's okay.
Okay. But just to get it up front, maybe, is that like kind of like extreme categories, or each and one of us is a mix of these five categories?
No. So everyone is just one category.
Okay.
And then within your categories, there's more that defines just you. So based on which energy centers you have defined, activated, versus which ones are undefined or inactivated. And so that can further tap into what your strengths are and what your weaknesses may be, mm-hmm. and how to best handle both.
Because now that you mentioned, okay, 8 to 10% are manifestors. I mean, if you have people who are not in that category, they go like, okay, I can go home because I'm not able to sell anything, and that's it, I'm done. And that's not the case, right?
Right, exactly. That's not the case. I think the idea here is to recognize with manifestors, the more traditional route of marketing really works well for them, because they're just generally more aggressive people. Mm-hmm. And so for the other four categories, which includes projectors, manifesting generators, and reflectors, this requires being more unique and tapping into truly who you are instead of trying to meet a societal norm. Mm-hmm. So, for example, projectors make up about 20% of the population. And for them, they have their role here on Earth is to really play with being guides and speakers and visionaries, slightly different from leaders. They can certainly be a leader, but more from the perspective of, you know, I'm going to guide you in your path in life kind of idea. I'm going to help you find your way, be that speaker for you. And for them, in terms of really tapping into their niche, they need to feel invited. So, you know, when you get invitations to different events or networking groups or, you know, this and that, checking in with yourself to make sure, yeah, this is the group I want to be in front of. And then going. Oftentimes for projectors, you can get invited to so many different things that you kind of say yes to everything. And then you're overwhelmed and you don't know where to go. And in some places you feel better connected than others, and it's just disruptive. So it's about really deciding, okay, am I saying yes because I'm just excited that I got invited? Or am I saying yes because this is really the group of people that I want to be speaking to?
Okay.
So tapping into where you're getting the invitations. And if you're a projector who's feeling like you're not being invited, because oftentimes until those invitations start to come in, you can kind of feel like, I'm over here, please notice me, please, I'm jumping up and down, you know? That's when I really suggest you play around with being in places that light you up. So, you know, your favorite coffee shop, your favorite central area in town, or maybe you like to go and visit certain places, or your favorite people. Getting out and being visible in those places where you feel best, you're going to start to attract invitations. And then also, you know, I mean, this is a beautifully digital world where you can get online, and there are websites like meetup.com, and you can see hundreds of invitations to all sorts of events on there. And then you can be discerning about what one you want to say yes to and what you want to play with doing. Mm-hmm. So, tapping into the people around you and the online opportunities to find out what's going on to then either say yes or no to is a really powerful thing for projectors.
Okay, so we discussed two so far, the projector and the manifestor, three more to go. Before we get into those other three, one more question. Have you noticed a difference, because you focus on female entrepreneurs, in terms of categories? Is they, let's say for the manifestors, because this is also a personal interest of mine, because you said, okay, these are the salespeople. Is that first group more male dominated than female? Have you noticed some differences?
You know, that's a great question. I have not. I generally tend to attract females, so I can't say that I have had the population to know, but your human design chart is based on your birth information versus like filling out a personality questionnaire.
Okay.
So in that sense, I feel like it's a bit more gender neutral. Mm-hmm. And for women who are pure manifestors who haven't really tapped into their skills there, a lot of times it's because they've allowed the social conditioning of who they think they should be to get in the way. And so we work with peeling back those layers so they can tap into who they truly are and be successful with it.
Okay. So, yeah, thanks for clarifying that one. And three more categories to go.
Absolutely. So I've talked briefly about generators and manifesting generators. And manifesting generators, and I'm one of them. So we are a hybrid of both pure generators and pure manifestors. And we make up about 33% of the population. And we can do both. We can manifest, we can be a little bit more assertive like manifestors, and we can also kind of go the distance like generators. The difference is that for us, we really need to listen to our gut and sort of make sure that things feel good before we manifest them. If we just manifest for the sake of manifesting or like chase something down, then usually we're going to run into a lot of trouble, or somewhere down the line it's going to fizzle out. So for manifesting generators, that can be almost the biggest challenge, because there's this tendency to really go fast. And oftentimes we can dive into things because we're so excited about the potential outcome and what may happen, instead of really checking in to see if this is what we truly love and want and desire to create. We can create a lot of things. We just need to make sure that it's really within our wheelhouse versus just being excited about the outcome or perhaps whom we're working with in the project, those kinds of more external factors that can keep us motivated in the beginning, but in the end may cause us frustration and anger and overwhelm. So that's the big thing for manifesting generators. And again, for them, they generally tend to be better starters and initiators, and they work well with pure generators to help see project through to completion. And then generators, these generators, again, the 35% of the population, the pure generators, and these are more of our, you know, like more traditional followers. In this sense, I would say that generators like to be a part of a group of people. So you like to have someone who is going to take charge and lead with the vision, and you're going to come in with the details and make sure that all of the pieces are working. And when you're in a project that aligns with your heart, you love to, you know, look in at all those details and make sure you've checked off the boxes and that everything is flowing. And it's really, your role is so important and really powerful for the success of a project. So meeting visionaries and leaders that you really align with, you can help bring those people's projects to a whole new level because you can bring a level of detail to it that they're not used to focusing on or don't have the energy to focus on where you do. So that's the really powerful piece for generators.
Okay.
And then lastly, we have reflectors. And reflectors only make up 1% of the population. So it is very rare to be a reflector.
1%. Okay.
Yeah. But it is a beautiful role. And reflectors generally, they're more quiet and unobtrusive people. They're great to have in a community or even in a company because they'll give you an honest reflection of how well the community and the company is doing. They can reflect back what's happening around them and share the wisdom from sort of this witness outside perspective. So there are people who can make great consultants because they can look at the overarching, you know, vision of your business and see all the different pieces and really feel what's right and what's wrong and give you wisdom and feedback as to what changes to make improvements.
So we have the five categories now.
We do.
Very well. Molly, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned something and that comes back to the human design as well, true self versus ego, to get deeper mm-hmm. into that and deeper into business. And in today's world, we have a lot of ego communication. This is me, myself, and I, my products, my services, buy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the question that I have is, what's the difference between, coming from your core, knowing which category you come from, and coming using your uniqueness and the core versus coming from this person called ego and pushing everything to the front?
Yes, yes. This is a great question. And I think you did a good job of starting the process. I mean, the idea of chasing or pushing, you know, something forward is out of alignment. It's that ego driven and it's rough. It's like swimming upstream. But when you're coming from your core, that's like you're in the inner tube and you're floating downstream, you know, and it feels good and it works and it's easier. You know, in human design, we talk about it from the perspective of being in your head versus being in your body. And so often in society, especially with ego, we're kind of taught to make decisions from our head or to think about things and go with the shoulds and the coulds that we're taught and told. And so all of these ideas are kind of moving around in your brain. And when you make decisions from there, you're often making ego-driven decisions. So really tapping into, where have you chosen to do this? Have you chosen to do this because, you know, you're afraid of what other people are going to think? And so then again, it's the thoughts that you're really fearing. Or are you doing this because deep in your body, in your core, it feels right? In human design, everyone has what we call a strategy and an authority. And these are two different energies in your body that help you make best decisions going forward. So, you know, your strategy may be to wait to respond, and your authority may be your emotional authority. So in that case, you want to, when you get presented with an idea, step back. And I like to say, use delay language. So if someone offers you an opportunity saying, wow, this sounds amazing, let me think about this for a day. I'll get back to you tomorrow. And the reason why you want to step back and utilize delay language, especially when your strategy is to wait to respond, is because so often in the moment, you get so excited with, oh, I get to work with this person and I get to do this and it could lead to that. And oh my goodness, who knows what will happen after that? You know, like,
is that your ego talking?
Yes, yes, that's your ego talking. That is your ego talking. And so you want to step back from that. And usually time is the key to give yourself time to come down off of that emotional high, that thought process high, that ego high, to ask yourself, okay, if my mission is blank, does this truly serve it? And just for the sake of doing it, would I be happy? If, you know, if there were no result from it, would I be happy doing this? Okay. And that's really where you can get that sense in your body. You're going to feel this yes or no. And the yes is just your body's going to feel more relaxed. You may still be nervous about doing whatever it is because it might be outside your comfort zone, but you're also engaged in it. You almost sort of feel like that propelling forward, like you want to take a step forward towards it, you know, versus when it's a real internal no, then oftentimes you may feel heavy or suddenly tired, or you may even get sick because your body's trying to tell you it's not interested in this. This is not for your best interest. And you're trying to push through it, right? So that to me is the big difference between tapping into your core, your true self, and being driven by your ego.
So it's kind of like taking decisions from your intuition, gut feeling, whatever you want to call it, heart math, the heart, which sends information, let's say 16 times, I think it was, more often and faster to the brain than vice versa. And it's interesting that you mentioned that, because if you look back and listen to interviews with Richard Branson, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and you ask them, well, how do you take decisions? And these guys take decisions based on gut feeling, most of them. And they will even say, I do it on gut feeling. Whereas 90-something percent take their decisions based on Excel spreadsheets and analysis and all that. I wouldn't say as an Excel spreadsheet equals ego, but
you bring up a good point, because the Excel spreadsheet taps into, well, it doesn't directly tap into ego. It does tap into the shoulds and the coulds, right? Like, well, I should do this because the statistics say blank, right?
Yeah.
Versus my gut, which is saying I want to do this over here.
Hey, this is Just a Station Identification. My name is Chris Rock, your Strength in Business host, and my amazing guest today is Molly Ryder from New Hampshire. Molly is a human design coach who specializes in helping female entrepreneurs to stop feeling guilty and start asking for what they really want. If you want to increase your self-confidence and take the right action, then it's time to utilize your human design chart with Molly. Molly was featured on Kim Garsboom's social Bella Life by Neetika Chopra and shows like The Block Talk Radio, Elite Daily, The Voice of Generation Y, and The Coach Approach Show. To find out more about Molly, visit www.mollyryder.com. And make sure you download your own human design chart at mollyryder.com/freehd, HD for human design, so free HD chart. Okay, it's a free chart. Now, I will include both URLs in the description of this podcast, and I'll also put them on my website at strengthandbusiness.com under the tab podcast, and you can come back to it anytime. So make sure you visit mollyryder.com and discover how you can use your human design to create unique and valuable products and services and ultimately grow your own business. Now, Molly, back to you. How can small business owners best profit from your vast human design experience?
You know, what really they can do is they're going to learn all of the ins and outs of themselves. They're going to step into self-love that they've never experienced before. And I understand this is very spiritual and can sound woo-woo, but I really believe it's the foundation of successful business. You know, so often today, our economy is all about this connection economy and being authentic and being your own brand. And if you have things about yourself that you don't like and you're scared to share them, that's coming through in everything that you're doing, even the parts of yourself that you do love and enjoy sharing. So when you can step into that self-acceptance in such deep ways, it helps you to up-level your business. It also helps with the criticism and the naysayers that we can all face as we get bigger and bigger in our businesses. They pop out. You know, for me, when I started to have articles published on other sites, they definitely were articles that took people in a direction that they weren't used to. And so there were people who were like, didn't believe it, thought it was crazy, and had some pretty negative things to say. And if I hadn't been able to fully tap into the skills of my human design chart and what I've been learning there, it would have been harder for me to release that criticism. I might have crumpled under it and never done one of them again. So that is really where I feel like people can benefit most from the human design experiences, to deepen in their foundation as a business, be able to handle all of the different aspects of their business, especially in the connection, personal branding space, so that they know how to spread their message in a way that creates expansion and is truly real and authentic and powerful for others.
I can imagine that in terms of a business, there are a lot of people who have issues with spirituality and so on. Or let's put it another way, they have difficulties transforming the insights into business. Okay. And I remember watching this video on YouTube with Warren Buffett. I will never forget that one because I almost fell off the chair. Because he was asked, what are the two things, the two major things that really made you successful? And here was his answer. The first one was unconditional love he received from his parents. And the second answer was attractiveness. And when he meant attractive or becoming attractive, he didn't mean a $300 haircut. What he meant is that mindset of attracting wealth, because most people have this mentality of lack, okay? Right. And what successful business people and successful people in general talk about is this mindset of, yeah, the universe is full. There's plenty for everybody, okay? And it was quite interesting, a billionaire talking about these two points, and it was the time when something major shifted in my mindset as well, because I went, whoa, this guy is talking about this. Well, there's something important
yeah.
in what he's saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I love that he shared, you know, I would agree, for me too, having the support and unconditional love of family members has been so important, and being open to attracting, to allowing that aura to be what you put out first and always, instead of the cynicism. It just brings so many opportunities. You know, for me, I didn't realize how often my thoughts were self-sabotaging me. And it wasn't when I started to really tap into human design, I recognized that and have put in a lot of different activities, including, you know, meditation and yoga and reading books. Like one of the ones that I really love is Manifesting Change by Mike Dooley. It's all about changing your mindset and your thoughts, and just that focus can bring about great abundance. It truly can. And if you think about it, you know, each solo business only needs, I don't know, what, 20, 30 clients to really hit a successful stride before you start to focus on that next level. And there are billions of people in the world. You know, so 20, 30 people is not hard.
Definitely. It's definitely not hard. Now, we talked a bit about, struggles in terms of spirituality. And maybe this is one of them. I don't know, because that's why here's my next question for you. What are the biggest mistakes? Just name three. The biggest mistakes entrepreneurs and small business owners make when it comes to, taking this human design or coming from their true self and applying this to business.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would say some of the biggest mistakes, first of all, the first one would be not knowing the difference between the fear that's really good for you and will propel you forward, and for something just not being right, not being aligned for you. A lot of clients ask me this, well, how do I know, if this is a no, or I just am feeling so much fear that it feels like a no, And one of the things that I really try and help them tap into is the difference between whether they feel like they have the energy for it. So if something is truly a no, you are going to feel heavy and exhausted. And if something is a yes, but there's the fear around it, then when you think about, the big why of why you're doing it, you feel energized. You're excited about it. You're certainly nervous. You feel like there's probably some hurdles you need to get over, and you probably will experience frustration and perhaps overwhelm in the process. But the key thing you're not going to feel is you're not going to feel resentment. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when we say yes to things that we really didn't want to say yes to, we resent doing whatever it is, like the process when you actually have to follow through.
Yep.
So, that's the key thing to kind of tap into and the challenge for people. The other one that I really notice is that when people start authentically marketing, they can almost go to the opposite extreme and start sharing everything they feel or every emotion that they have. and here's the deal. A friend and a fabulous entrepreneur, her name is Lisa Fabrega. She says this all the time. She says, share your truth from a place of expansion, not contraction.
Yeah.
And a great example is I know someone who is in the DJ business, and, he's done really well, and he's a great friend at the beginning. But what I began to notice was that he online would rant about his clients. They would ask for this or suddenly pull out or whatever it is, and he'd be really frustrated and angry and just kind of put this out there on social media. And certainly, he was being authentic in the sense of he was sharing how he felt in the moment. I'm not so sure it was truly authentic, because I feel like it was more of a reaction versus a response.
Mm-hmm.
And when we take time to reflect and respond, then we're being really authentic in our shares versus just coming from reaction mode, which is very emotional. In those moments where he's ranting, he's not sharing from a place of expansion. Everyone who reads that message feels worse, right? Or is reminded of something that angers them. When you share from this place of expansion, that's when you've taken the time to kind of step back and be like, okay, this client really upset me. They really triggered me. And now I'm going to take responsibility for perhaps the miscommunication that I created in the meeting, or, what I could do next time differently. And had he taken a moment to share it from that perspective, we all would have expanded, and we would have been able to see the challenge that he had faced, acknowledged it, and also seen where he could own it and also do something differently next time, which would have been expansive and more in line with his own message, which was more about bringing a personal touch to people's events. So those are really the bigger mistakes that I see when people start to play with authentic marketing, especially around their human design, is getting too emotional in their shares, or not sure if what they're saying yes to is truly aligned or not.
Well, I can, the last mistake, I can only agree to that one. I work with doctors. I have a few doctors that work with me, and a couple of them, they tend to do this third mistake you mentioned. And every time we get there, I'm like, stop, too much information.
Right.
Okay. But yeah, well, we're all humans and stuff like that happens.
Absolutely.
Molly, you work with mentors. All of us work with mentors because we want to get to the next level. We want to take our businesses, our lives to the next level. What is the best piece of advice you got from your mentors?
You know, I love this because I think mentors come in many different forms, and oftentimes it's the small nuggets that I'm left with that can make the biggest difference and help propel me forward. So I have a couple of different ones. The first one that really helped me get started is a phrase by Alex Mendojian, which is, sloppy success is better than perfect mediocrity. Mm-hmm. And that just really helped me through those moments where I wanted to freeze up and not do it. And really get out there and see the success despite it not being perfect. And then the other one, which has really come from my mentors within the human design world, which is to stop and listen to my strategy and authority first before taking action. And that really helps me to step into responding mode versus reacting mode. And that's just been huge for me in terms of being able to say yes to the things that are aligned and how to say no to the things that aren't. Because sometimes it's saying no that can be the hardest piece.
It's a powerful weapon in sales.
Yes, it is.
And in business overall. Now, it's not only mentors that help us get to the next level, but also books. And I always ask this question. So here's the question for you. What's your favorite book and why?
Oh, this is such a hard question. Well, I feel like I've already...
Pick one.
You know, I'm going to mention a non-business book because I think sometimes we all need a little bit more of that break. But one of my favorite books that helps me in business is by Elizabeth Gilbert. It's her book, Eat, Pray, Love. Mm-hmm. And what I love about this book is I think it's such a powerful example of how to share your truth in a way that's expansive for people and vulnerable. You know, when you share your truth, you're being vulnerable. You have to be courageous. And it shows a lot of bravery to do this. And her book is a memoir of her travels. And I know it's a very popular book and it's been around for a while, but it's one that I go back to and read again and again because there's such power in being able to share who you are and share it from a way that really empowers others to improve themselves. And that expansive, vulnerable share is a unique talent. And I think books that help us tap into that are one of the best things that we can utilize in business.
Awesome. I must admit, I haven't read the book, but I heard one of her TED Talks. And she's absolutely amazing. And I watched a movie, okay?
Yes.
With Julia Roberts. So yeah, I need to read that one. Molly, last question. If people want to find out more about you and connect with you, where should they go?
My website. So as you mentioned, it's www.mollyrider.com. And if people want to connect with me more directly, you can reach out via email, which is info@mollyrider.com. And I look forward to hearing from you guys.
Awesome. Once again, this is Chris Rock from Strength in Business, talking to human design coach Molly Rider from New Hampshire. Thanks for being my guest today, Molly.
Thank you so much, Chris. I've had a blast.
Thanks a lot for sharing your valuable human design tips and principles with us. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Chris Rock here from Strength in Business. We had a great guest on today's show, Molly Rider, human design coach and passionate entrepreneur. Find out more about Molly by visiting www.mollyrider.com. Thanks for listening. I'll see you in the next episode. Happy marketing, and remember to always play to your strengths.
Thank you for listening to the Strength in Business podcast. Submit your questions on strengthinbusiness.com and follow Chris on Twitter @ChrisRock. That's KRISZROKK.